The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here's your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we'll be talking with Himavat Ishaya from the Sage's Touch Reflexology Services about reflexology. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to scripture to give us perspective on every discussion focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. In the news this week, we have some new information about meditation. Meditation makes you more productive during the day. How about that? By increasing our capacity to resist distracting and impulsive urges. Research shows that an ability to resist those urges will improve our relationships, increase our dependability, and raise our performance. If we can resist urges, we can make better, more thoughtful decisions. That sounds good. And we can be more intentional about what we say and how we say it. We can think about the outcome of our actions before following through on them. Our ability to resist an impulse determines our success in learning a new behavior or changing an old habit. And it's probably the single most important skill for our growth and our development. And as it turns out, that's one of the things that meditation does teach us. It's also one of the hardest to learn. So this week, think about meditating if you've never tried. The hardest part is starting, or finding the time, or both. Take a step towards better health and meditate. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Himavat Ishaya is a licensed, nationally certified therapeutic massage therapist. He works at the Sage's Touch in Mason, Ohio, which has a host of services, not the least of which is reflexology and certainly the topic of our show tonight. Welcome, Himavat, to Your Holistic Health.
Thank you, Kathy. Glad to be here.
You're a sage, and you're a massage therapist, but I really want to know more about how you got first interested in reflexology.
I've been trained by sages. I don't claim to be a sage.
I think you're one.
Well, okay, thank you. That was very kind. Long time ago, in the mid-70s, actually, I was drawn, and I had been finding myself drawn to hands-on healing. And I was curious about all kinds of healing modalities, whether it was the regular medicine that we go to doctors for, or it was herbs or food as medicine, or any kind of hands-on approach, or even shamanistic healing. I was curious, how do people heal? Because I knew that there was all kinds of possibilities. So then I found myself drawn to the hands-on work and took an informal class that lasted about 6 weeks. And the teacher of the class said, "You're a natural." And I said, "Well, it's something that does come easily to me." And so I realized at that point that it might be worth paying attention to. But that was a long time ago. And it took me a while to really sort out how much a part of my life it always has been and continues to be. So it's just been there. Every time I go into a bookstore, I'm curious about healing, and I'm also curious about consciousness. So that's been my life's work, really.
Those I love
two,
it.
Pieces.
Now, reflexology has a pretty long history, and many people may not know that significantly in the early 1900s. It sort of gained popularity. How does this really differ from just, gosh, I'll just say traditional massage? Is it Eastern principled, or what exactly is going on with the feet here? Because I understand that's the focus.
The woman who really brought it forward is named Eunice Ingham, and she was a nurse, and she was working in a hospital with a doctor, and she was just simply massaging the bottom of people's feet, and she found that there was an amazing correlation between people's symptoms and people's conditions and the different areas of the feet. So she started mapping them, and she was the first person who really put out the map that's still in very much use today. And it's the map is amazingly simple. If you know your anatomy, you just transfer straight across from an anatomical map onto the bottom of the feet, where when you bring the two feet together, the large toe down to the inside of the heel is the midline on both feet, and it just goes on from there. So therapeutic massage is full body, typically. Depending on the circumstances, maybe it's just low back, upper back, shoulders, and neck, or it might be the arms, or it might be the legs. But reflexology specifically works primarily on the bottom of the feet. It's the easiest way to use the reflexology map. There's also an entire map of the body reflected on the hands, and there's a few more complications when you use the map on the hands. It's still pretty straightforward, and believe it or not, the third of the three places is the ear. The entire ear has a working, precise, full, reflective map of the body if you know how to work the different areas of the ear. I work exclusively on the bottom of the feet. I make occasional exceptions to work on the hands, but there's a few other reasons I like working on the feet as well. But that's where I do pretty much 100% of my work anymore.
So the feet, and perhaps these other areas as well then, represent the organs or glands or maybe other body parts and are very systematic. And some of this even sounds acupuncture-ish in terms of the connection between...
similarities,
yeah.
And there's some differences.
Yeah, that's really fascinating.
The acupuncture uses the map of meridians, which are channels of energy. And these maps are thousands of years old, and so they're not just made up in the last 50 years or so. And the channels of energy traverse the whole body. And all of the meridians do end up on the bottom of the feet. And so where the meridians end up on the bottom of the feet, there are some correlations to the reflective map, and there are some differences.
All right. Now let's talk a little bit about research. And I know that it probably hasn't evolved as dramatically as perhaps with some of the other modalities, but nonetheless, I understand there's been one study promoted by the American Cancer Society in their journal indicating that about a third of cancer patients surveyed in this particular study were using reflexology, and I think that's a very important bit of data that we want to bring forward to our listeners. Is there any other good research going on around the world that you want to tell us about?
There's some research that's come out of China, and my challenge with the research is so much of it is very, very specific to perhaps migraines or one particular symptom, but I use a woman who has been the head of the Reflexology Association of the United Kingdom, whose name is Anne Gillanders, Gillanders, and her first name is Ann. And she has been a phenomenal example of someone who not only has benefited from reflexology herself, but made the entire profession of reflexology very well established in the United Kingdom and around the world. She's one of my favorite resources. So I like to go to her website, and I also use her published material as well. But like I said, my challenge is that there's not enough published research on the effects of reflexology that is clinical enough to really make it through some of the tests that we in the West are very fond of. We really need to have that clinical evidence, and there's just not enough of it out there right now.
perhaps you will be called to do some research along your professional journey, Himavad, at some point.
That's a possibility.
You never know. Well, theoretically, it sounds like reflexology, at minimum, is going to aid in relaxation, perhaps reduce pain depending upon the nature or the cause of that pain, not to overpromise, but perhaps also improve circulation, because after all, that is one of the gifts of massage in general, correct?
Absolutely. When a massage therapist works the muscles on the body, then there's a lot of circulation that is absolutely improved because they're working directly on the tissue. And it's interesting because one of the advantages of my using just the bottom of the feet is that I get to work a lot with the viscera in the abdomen that would normally be something that people would want to create more of a relationship with. When I had longer-term clients as a massage therapist, then I would find that they would be more comfortable with me doing some of the visceral work on the abdomen, but on the bottom of the feet, I can do that on the first time I work with a client, so that, for instance, the liver, which is a very, very important organ in the body, and the entire gastrointestinal system, which is also a very, very important system. Some people call the gastrointestinal system the second brain, because there's a huge number of neurological factors that are literally created in the lining of the intestines, so that those neurological factors then make their way into the nervous system and contribute to the proper functioning of the central nervous system. So there's a direct correlation between those two systems, and also lately in the last month or two, I've seen a lot of clients with sinus issues, and I can literally work the areas on the bottom of the feet that reflect the sinus areas, and clients will report that their sinuses are cleared up after just one session, where they might have had weeks of congestion or flu-like symptoms.
Fascinating work. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back after the break and talk about the spiritual component of Himavad's work in reflexology. If you're just joining our show, this is Your Holistic Health. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and tonight we're talking with Himavad Ishaya about reflexology. So, Himavad, before the break, we started to just introduce the concept of the body and spiritual connections in reflexology. We talk a lot in general in non-traditional medicine about the mind-body connection, but I really want to explore the body and the divine connection, or the spiritual connection. Is there a component of that in your work? You're laughing.
I realized a little while ago that when I was going to church as a young person, there was a particular chapter and verse that I would hear in the gospel that really struck a profound chord in me, and it's John 14:12. And it's Jesus talking to his disciples, and he says to his disciples, "All these things and more shall ye do," or sometimes we hear, "Greater things than these shall ye do." And he was talking about the miracles that he was performing, and I did not even believe that I had heard it correctly the first time. So it came around again about 6 or 7 or 8 months later, and I said, oh my God, I heard it right the first time. And then I realized that I had remembered that, and it somehow burned its way into my brain. And so I asked the minister at the time, can you tell me more about that? And he said, well, that's a really good question. And so it became my life's mission to find out what about those miracle healings could we do, and what more could we do besides those miracle healings. And so it took me many, many, many places around the world, whether it was just by way of research or actually visiting different places in the world looking for the answer to that question. And I found some very wonderful, I've been privileged to work with some very wonderful people who have found also the same answers that I was looking for to those same questions.
You've been very blessed, my friend, indeed, and called to this mission, this professional mission and ministry, it seems. Well, as you have become enlightened and in your travels, in your journey, now working with your clients, tell me, do you sense that your clients are searching spiritually? And are they perhaps being directed to you in a divine way to be brought to the light?
In my opinion, yes, of course, because my understanding of how the divine works is that it's always at work in all of our lives anyway. And to answer the first part of your question, do my clients have a sense of that? Some do and some don't. Of course, everybody has their own relationship to a higher power. And some people are more interested in developing more of that relationship in their own lives. And some people just don't find that it's much of a priority. And so I very, very gently will just begin to ask people what's their experience of their relationship to their own spirituality, so that I can have a sense of how best I can serve them, because it's hugely a factor in the work that I do. And yet I talk about the heart and the mind and the body and the soul. And I actually talk about what's known as the science of the soul. And there actually is an ancient science of the soul, and it was one of the things that Christ was trying to teach. And in any event, that's part of what I bring to the table, is understanding the relationship between the divine that everyone has, whether they're aware of it or not. But it's not a belief system. It's totally about the symptoms that people come in the door with, and then it's more importantly about the cause. And of course, there's always a cause of every symptom. It's not just physical. Sometimes it's mental, emotional, and sometimes it's subtle. And when I use the word subtle, that to me is one way to begin to talk about the divine. But again, it's so important for me to respect everyone's belief system. So I don't challenge people's belief system. I just engage wherever they're at.
I'm going to key in on the notion of you being a servant earlier in this question and answer, and I want to bring up Romans 12, verses 7 and 8, and it's, if a man's gift is serving, let him serve. And if it's teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. And if it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. Himavad, I think you are giving generously of your spirit to your clients, whether it's articulated or it's known to you and God. You have given a different layer, an additional layer to your gift of healing and this ministry, which I think is remarkable. And who would have ever known or guessed that reflexology could be so encompassing? And it's very encouraging to meet people like you, to meet professionals that are gifted and caring. And I thank you so much for honoring your fellow man and women in this way.
You're very welcome. It's actually kind of fun understanding how the divine works, even at the level of the physical, because a lot of my actual hands-on work focuses on the spinal column. And I find that there's a direct correlation between how open a person is, basically from their heart, to the divine aspects of who they are and how their spinal column responds. It's a very interesting piece of work, and you mentioned some of that the research that I may even end up paying more attention to and working clinically over time and tracking my results, because there is a very powerful correlation between the divine and the physical, and that's what I'm all about, is bridging the understandings that that in my opinion want to be bridged between the knowledge of the West, which is very clinical and very physically oriented, and the knowledge of the East, which understands the principles that Jesus was teaching in his Gospels, that we are children of God after all.
I agree. Where can listeners go for more information about reflexology and about your work?
My work in particular, feel free to check out my website, which is http://thesagestouch.com. And like I said, my favorite resource is Ann Gillander's. And there's also the Reflexology Association of America, which is a wonderful group that's promoting the profession of reflexology here in the United States, RAA. So there's three resources right off the top.
All right. The Reflexology of America Association, do they have a website by chance?
Yes, they do. And I could probably pull it up here real quick.
Well, while you're doing that, let's talk a little bit more about the types of clients that come to see you. Are they seeking because of certain conditions? And if so, what are the top three?
Like I said, currently I'm getting a lot of people with flu-like symptoms. I've gotten a lot of people with hip pain in the last 3 or 4 months. I had a number of people with inflammatory kind of challenges, whether it's arthritis or even my brain is going blank. The condition where a person has neuromuscular challenge constantly. I can't think of the word right now. But muscular
fibromyalgia,
pain in general, whether it's specific to sinuses and sinus headaches or fibromyalgia, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. And does it typically take more than one session to help these particular conditions? And if so, how successful have you been?
Actually, I've had great success most of the time. And everyone's going to be different. But I had one woman who had had fibromyalgia for 6 years, and on a scale of 1 to 10, she was in pain between 8 and 9 every day. After 5 treatments, she was 95% pain-free.
Well, that's pretty significant.
I've had a number of people with arthritis conditions, and typically 3 or 4 treatments, they're between 70 and 80% pain-free. There's always a number of factors. Lifestyle is one of them. One of the things that people are realizing is that there are certain foods that will contribute to the inflammatory response. So often I will talk about how people approach their eating habits, and if they're willing to look at whether there might be food allergies, and having the appropriate tests made, so that the clinical results can help them to see where an allergic reaction could be totally on account of a simple change in terms of lifestyle, specifically around diet. And I've had very good luck overall. Occasionally there will be people who will take a little bit longer. Sometimes, typically people take within 4 or 5 treatments are very, very happy with the relief from chronic pain.
So it sounds like this begins to open up the notion of a more comprehensive or more enhanced method of approaching wellness or healing or both, meaning it could be multimodal. You have the beginning point would be reflexology. You're adding on top of that a layer of discussion with regard to lifestyle, continuing to build with nutrition, perhaps using herbs or other types of dietary supplements, if you will. There can be a spiritual component. There can be perhaps even an emotional component. So it's very much more than just massaging the bottom of the feet, right?
Absolutely. And it's all about cause, not necessarily symptom. And it's hardly ever about story. So I absolutely do not do any kind of psychotherapy work or any work, any similar to that. But I do establish rapport. And in that rapport, sometimes people just are so grateful to have someone just listen. And my empathy skills have been honed over decades of training and work, so that when I bring the simple empathy skills plus my understanding of how compassion works at a very deep and a very profound level, I bring those tools to the work, and it helps people to engage their own healing capacity to bring what I call the power of love to heal. And when they begin to understand how worthy they are of love from the inside out, they literally begin right in front of my eyes to love themselves more, and that's the power, that's the healing power. That's what helps them to heal.
And the greatest of these is love, not only in sharing with others, but I'm sure that circles right back around and comes to you from the Father.
It's about, sometimes we hear the old saw that says that we teach what it is we most need to learn.
You see, Imavat, you are a sage. That was very profound. I thank you so much. What's your take-home message for us tonight as we're approaching the closing minutes of our show?
Love yourself just the way you are. Start with just simply noticing whatever's there. And if there's a voice inside that says there's something wrong or that you're not good enough, notice that and bring love to that, so that then your healing power from within can come forward and you can have more of a healthy life starting right now.
Very wise again. Thank you so much, Imavat, for being our guest tonight. Now I'd like to wrap up our show with the quote of the week, and it's by Plato. And I quote, "The part can never be well done unless the whole is well," end quote. I think that's very fitting for our conversation tonight. Thanks again to our guest, Imavat Eshaya, licensed massage therapist and reflexologist at the Sage's Touch in Mason, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. You're invited to my website at rxintegrativesolutions.com for a library of health-related articles I've written just for you. Please tune in again next week at the same time to hear Richard Love, author of Last Child in the Woods, Saving Our Children from Nature Deficit Disorder, on the next edition of Your Holistic Health. You are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m., on Faith and Friends Radio for Your Holistic Health.